again, your brand is everything, and you want to make sure that the tone is always the same. And again, if you look at, you know, larger companies, how they're always speaking to their customers, you want to capture that regardless of the size of your own company.
Hello, and welcome to Brand Tuned, the only podcast on branding that covers IP, which is intrinsic to business and brands. I'm Shireen Smith, lawyer, brand strategist, and curious business owner, keen to discover the secrets of effective brand building to create a successful business. Catherine Lang Klein is the co-founder of Portfolio Creative, a creative staffing firm headquartered in Columbus, Ohio, that finds openings for graphic designers, writers, developers, marketers, project managers, etc. Before that, she spent more than 20 years in the creative industry working as a designer. Catherine, welcome to the Brand Tuned podcast. Tell us a bit more about your background and what you do.
Oh, absolutely. And thanks for having me here today. My background essentially started as being a graphic designer myself. I did that for about 15 years and then flipped between being a freelancer and working for corporations. And then eventually just started my own business where now I find people for different organizations, be it large or small, that are in need of advertising marketing people. The company is called Portfolio Creative, and we've been doing this for about 15 years now.
Right. What made you decide to start in business as a matter of interest?
Well, you know what? That's kind of interesting because I had mentioned, you know, how I kept going, you know, 2 years at this company, 3 years freelance, back and forth. And this opportunity came up. Somebody had asked me if I'd be interested in starting a company like this. And I definitely had the experience from both sides of the table. And I was also at a time in my life where I was like, you know, do I just, you know, keep doing this or do I try something completely different? And decided, you know what, why not? Let's just try it and see if it works.
So you were already experienced in a way in terms of getting work as a freelancer. So presumably it wasn't such a steep uphill climb.
That's exactly it. I already knew how to sell my own services and it was just a matter of, you know, just keep doing that. But doing that for other people. And also just a kind of expanding my scope too, because while, you know, I did not do project management, for example, I worked with somebody that was and was really great at it. I knew people that were just outstanding in Photoshop and I knew what level people needed as far as those sort of other sorts of skill sets too.
Great. So basically, given your expertise in the creative industry, how would you advise a business owner who wants to brand to go about choosing someone to work with?
Well, I think you have to really meet with a few people. I'm always a big fan of recommendations, which is kind of where we come in too, in that, you know, we know just about everybody in town anymore or even in the region. And so we know what certain styles are and what certain people's tastes are. So I think it's really important that if you find a graphic designer that you like, to sit them down and really talk about, you know, what it is that they gravitate towards. You know, there's definitely tons of styles of graphic design. There's people that, you know, as they say, get you and they don't get you. So it's worth having that conversation. What might have worked for somebody else might not work for you. So, for example, if you're trying to sell like a new sort of motor oil, for example, it might not be the same graphic designer that works in the beauty industry or something like that. Granted, designers have a huge scope of taste and range, but, you know, look at their work, see what they've done in the past, talk about, you know, how they might approach your brand. And be really particular because, I mean, your brand is everything. And if it's off the mark, then people aren't going to understand what it is you're trying to sell.
Yeah. So what extra expertise does someone have who specializes in visual identity as opposed to just the graphic designer?
Well, I could definitely speak to this from my own standpoint because, I mean, having a lot of history as a graphic designer, my specialty was really just preparing files and getting all the people in the right spot. Like I did not do the photo shoots, for example, but I knew what I wanted the image to look like. So you have to really, again, find a person that really kind of understands that branding aspect. There are some people that, you know, couldn't design a logo to save their life. And there's some people that will give you like 1,000 choices of different logo styles. It is a certain talent. So you can't just pick a person and say, this is the person. They have to have a real taste and a flair for it.
What, for producing logos?
Producing logos, producing brands, because the brand is not just the logo. So that's going to be, you know, how your logo is displayed on stationery, on the website, on your business card, how the brand is going to be, you know, as far as its placement, as far as we're going to advertise and things like that. It's what you stand for, what your values are, what your messaging is, what your values and mission are. So it's all of that kind of wrapped into one.
Yeah. So what should you have clarity around already before you even start looking for a designer?
Well, you know, really figure out who you're trying to sell to and figure out why you're doing what you're doing. Like for us, for example, we knew that we wanted to just really connect the creative community from the talent standpoint and the client standpoint. And our mission is to just make those connections and make the right connections. So you have to really kind of evaluate what you're doing, why you're doing it. Like I said, mission and values are really, really important. And you think about other brands that are out there and you know immediately what they're trying to do. And, you know, Whole Foods is a great example in that, you know, that, you know, a lot of the money that they raise goes back to help other communities. Tom's Shoes, same thing, you know, they want to give back. That's a bit of their mission. So they're not going to want something that's like a super flashy 3D logo. It's something that's just very kind of wholesome and pure, seems very natural. Their brand is wrapped around everything that all stands for. So if anything else, you could do a little research on what you like and bring that to a designer and just say, you know what, this is the feel that we want. You know, we want a feel of a Veda. We want a feel of Everybody Goes for Apple. You know, we want a feel for Pepsi, or, you know, something that feels like, you know, a tire company. You know, just bring some examples of what you like. Talk to that designer about what your message you want it to be. You know, I want something that's soft and pleasant. I want something that's hard and in your face. And let them determine if they can come up with something for you that makes sense.
Okay. And how would you actually write the brief? What should be in it?
Well, I think you should start with, you know, why your company exists. You know, I think everybody starts for a reason. Sometimes it's maybe you lost your job and you thought now is the time to, you know, take what you know really well and create it into a company, include that. And then, you know, why the company exists, what the mission is, and what your values are. What are you trying to deliver to the customer that's really important? And it could be anything as far as, you know, a quality product, explain what that means. It's, you know, maybe something that's healing, something that makes people feel better. Include all of that in there and just kind of create sort of a 3D image of your business so people can understand where you're coming from, because otherwise they're not going to have that full understanding and you're not going to get what you want as a result.
Right. And what do you do as a designer when you get a brief like that? How do you actually decide what images would look good for?
Well, for me, I just find the people. So I'm kind of doing what I did best as a graphic designer. I get to build the team. So what will happen is our clients will call us and they will say, you know, I want a new brand, or I have a new company and I wish to create the brand. So we start having conversations with them saying, okay, so, you know, what is it that you're looking for? Do you have some examples? I mean, pretty much everything that I have said, examples of what you're looking for. And we start pulling together the people that we know that can do exactly that. And typically in just a few of those conversations, we kind of understand what they're trying to achieve and can provide them with, you know, like maybe 3 choices out of like about 1,000 people we know that can do the job and do it for their price point, do it for, the mission that they're trying to chase after and the image that they want.
Right. And obviously you need marketing skills, all sorts of skills to really help a business. So would you involve other people?
Well, it kind of depends on what their budget is, of course, and, you know, kind of what it is that they're trying to do. I think it's always great to start with an idea and a few words. And honestly, once, like when we had our brand redone, for example, we sat down with a designer and just talked. We probably talked to this person for an hour, and it was, and they kind of came up with some of the wording for us to kind of clarify what it is that we were trying to do. And that just remained our mission forever. And we just pushed it out after that. And we were able to market it, you know, on our own, having our own marketing background. But yeah, it's sometimes just worth to almost sit in like a therapy session with the designer and talk about what you're trying to do and have them put the words together, have them put the design together. And the level that we're talking about for this too is fairly high up. You know, it's somebody who has a fair amount of experience. You're not going to want somebody necessarily junior to do this. And it's worth the investment. Cause I remember when we got the estimate for ours, you know, we about died, but we wanted that person's look. And that's a little bit of the difference too. You know, you have to pay for it. If there's a particular person that you want, it does come in all ranges. So I don't want people to kind of freak out, but, the person that handles this sort of thing is going to have to be fairly experienced, that's been out there for a while, that has seen other things and knows how to put together an entire brand guide, help you with some of that wording, because, you know, sometimes it's really hard to even verbalize what you want to do. But if someone gives you a few minutes just to talk through it, they can put the words together to kind of capture what you're thinking.
Okay. So they have to be a bit of a copywriter as well as a designer.
And it's not a ton of copywriting. Sometimes people will, you know, hire a copywriter separately to kind of do that write up first and then pass it to the designer. But the more experienced people know how to do that. So, I mean, you could add as many layers on as you want, which is why I would advise people to hire somebody that has a little more experience that can do all of it, because it ends up being a little bit cheaper.
Right. So to avoid misunderstandings and poor communications, what else should you do?
Some things that I would kind of recommend is, like I said, actually gather some logos that you like and or some that you don't like, maybe in some instances, so you can kind of really direct them to the direction that you want it to go, because you don't want this to be a really long, drawn out process. You know, I think some people will just keep looking at things and they're like, no, that's not it. And they go by the, you know, I'll know it when I see it sort of aspect. I think it's much, much easier to just try and really hone in on what you like. And it might be a matter of, I like this typeface. I like these colors. I like, so it's almost like, you know, kind of creating a dream board, if you will, of what you want to do. I think that's probably the easiest way to do it. Just to gather things as much as you can, to kind of illustrate what you want. I mean, designers are very visual, so all of that sort of helps. So yeah, really kind of be sure of what direction you want to go first, rather than just coming in as a blank slate and let them kind of figure out what it is. If you are in that position, you know, that's not all that terrible. That's why they're there, but I find that it goes a lot faster and smoother if you have at least some idea what you're looking for.
Right. Does the designer actually do any research for you? What would you expect from them?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why, you know, I think if you pull more things together ahead of time, that's going to start saving you a little bit of money too, because otherwise they're going to do that. They're going to pull some things. And if honestly, if you're like, I don't have time for this, can you just do it? Absolutely. Let them do it. But it's pretty much the same thing. They're going to do some research. They're going to see what's worked for other people. They don't want your logo to look like somebody else's that's in the industry. So that's also something that you need to avoid. So yeah, they're going to pull together, you know, what your Pantone colors are, what your typefaces are, what, you know, all of that. So you're going to have that going forward for everything that you do. Like for us, we have a font that we use for any correspondence. That way, you know, anytime somebody sends something out, it's not going to all be in a different typeface. We all use the same typeface. We all use the same logos. You know, we have a black and white logo. We have a white on black logo. We have a full color logo. We have, you know, the Pantone colors. We have the CMYK breakdown. All of that gets done by the brand person.
And what about things like social media? So you've got the right sort of headers.
Yes. And as we know, sometimes the colors are not the same on screen as they are on paper. So they will sort that out as well. Also with the right size files for some of those things, because the files have to be much smaller when they're on the web versus when they're being printed. That's again where their expertise can come in and really help you out.
You said that the cost was quite high when you were looking to get a brand. What did it actually include?
It included the entire brand guide. So we had, and a brand guide is essentially how your logo is going to be used in all instances. And you may or may not need this. If you only are going to have a web presence, maybe all you need is, you know, the versions for what to be used on social media and things like that. But for us, it was a package of stationery. So we have the back of our paper has a full pattern on it. The logo's on the front. All the colors are spec'd out. We had the business cards, the size, the fonts, again, the different versions of the logo for how it would appear if it was on a black background, a white background, how it would, if we wanted to send it to a newspaper who uses it at a certain print style, we had just everything. So we could just kind of send it to people as needed. Certain logos are used on our website and on social media and things like that, just so it's represented properly. And then you get like this book that essentially shows how you use every single version of that. It also included our messaging. It included, you know, who we're speaking to. And it's just a very nice package that if a new person, a new employee starts, for example, you can say, here's the guide. Here's the fonts we use. Here's how things should look when it gets sent out. Because it can be amazing on how willy-nilly it can all get after a while. I have it going as far as certain words that I prefer over other ones, but that's just me. Otherwise, it's just so the tone is always the same. The voice of the company is always the same. So therefore, the more the company grows, the more I know that or more assured that people are following the brand, following the look. And it's as if I'm talking to them and we all are speaking in the same voice. Without it getting too crazy.
Well, so you actually decided your whole communication strategy as well.
Yes. Yes. And that, and once you see the brand guide, it really starts forming into itself, you know, because your brand is everything and you want to make sure that the tone is always the same. And again, if you look at, you know, larger companies, how they're always speaking to their customers, you want to capture that regardless of the size of your own company.
Well, tell me a bit about your brand. I see you've got on your shirt, Creatives Hustle Harder.
Yeah, that is actually somebody else's shirt that I'm wearing. Their brand, but I loved the idea of it so much that I wanted to have it on my my social headshot. I have a more formal one that goes on other things, but that's the one that's currently on my email and things like that, because one of the things that I try to push with our business is the value of the creative person. Having done this for so long, I ran into a lot of people that just wanted things for cheap, that wanted things for free, that wanted things based on relationships, people that would say, well, you love doing this. Why can't you just do this for me for nothing? And creative people and designers and writers and things just sometimes will not have value. And I think they're some of the hardest working people out there. So that is my subtle little message that I send out to people in that, pay them what they're worth, you know? And I think people know a lot of history of this, even for fine artists where, you know the starving artist that's always painting and painting and painting and no one buys their stuff until they're dead. I firmly believe that there's so much value in this and I want them to make a fair wage. That's all creatives. They work hard and their heart's in this, their spirit's in this. I mean, there's very few careers out there where you're being graded basically on your creation. You know, it's almost like people are judging your child. I have made this with my own hands and you don't like it, you know? So it's a tough business to be in.
Isn't that a bit dangerous to actually take it personally? Like,
yes, but it happens. It's just reality. I think there's a very small amount of people that are in this industry that don't take it personally because it is, you know, it's not like math where if it doesn't add up, that can be explained. But how do you explain to somebody whether or not they like something? You know, you look at, I'll go back to the example of a painting or maybe even dance. You know, there are some people that might applaud it, and there's some people like, well, I didn't really like that, you know. And I can guarantee that in a room full of people that loved it and there's one person that hates it, the only thing that they hear is that one person that hates it. So yeah, it is a very personal thing, which is why, you know, I really like to emphasize, you need to find the person that has the same understanding as you, the same taste as you, the same, that really just gets your business, because you're both going to be disappointed if they're coming with something saying, oh my God, I love this, what I've designed for you. And you look at like, I don't like it at all. They put a lot of hours into it and thought they really understood you and wanted to, you know, hit it on the mark. And I think they really do take it personally. I mean, I to a certain degree took it personally when I would do things that were by far more creative, but yeah, it's more than just, you know, producing things and kind of throwing it out there. They're putting a lot of love and care into something. And if it's rejected, it's slightly painful.
Right. Are there ways of doing quick designs you don't?
Absolutely. And actually, I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, I think when you're starting with a person, keep everything in like a sketch sort of form. You know, start with like just thumbnail ideas, some quick sketches. Just say, I want you to put together some things that are really loose before really, really investing a lot of time in it. I think that is hugely important, because somebody might just come back to you with like a completely finished piece, again, putting a lot of time and hours into it, and you don't like it. So start from the beginning as keeping it, you know, just really just almost, I would consider like a conversational sort of drawing. I'm thinking something like this, or I'm liking this, like I said, I'm liking this font. So I'm thinking about building this out like this. Definitely start in sketch form, idea form, and then have somebody kind of flesh it out in its entirety after that.
Yeah, I think sometimes I've noticed that there's an element of, I know best what you need.
Oh, yes.
You know, which some designers don't have at all. Yes. They are happy to help you achieve what you want, whereas others are quite bossy and they think they know what should happen.
I think that is true. I will say that person is not the majority. I think most people want to really deliver something you'll be happy with. Like, again, that's just that personal aspect of it. But that's why it's also really important to, you know, sit down with somebody and see what they've done in the past, see what their style is, because their style might be completely off base with what you want. There are some people that really specialize in, you know, soft drinks. Some people really specialize in like hard goods. Some specialize in, or have a more of a soft touch. You know, it's like, I need you. And so for us, somebody might call and say, I need somebody who has like a really soft touch, somebody who has experience in retail, somebody has experience in, you know, body lotions or products like that, you know, so then we can kind of really narrow it down to who that designer might be. And then that goes to the other complete opposite end of the spectrum. I want somebody that has done logos for gaming or logos for toys. I mean, they all have a different feel. That's why I really think it's important at the beginning to really find the person that specializes or has the taste level that you do for what your end product is going to be.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there's a way of having a smaller project that, you know, rather than going in for a high cost service and then finding that you're not actually well matched. Well, is there some way you could, without sort of reducing the value of the designer, but pay them in a way where they just deliver some sort of concept for you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You could have a nice, you know, 15, 30 minute conversation with them and just saying, I'm looking for some ideas. Here's my brand. Can you just send me some sketches of what you would think?
Obviously, you don't want them to do that for free.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, something like that, if it's just like some rough sketches or things, you could, you know, just ask them, you know, how much would you charge me to just do some, you know, simple pencil ideas. And really emphasize, I don't want to spend a lot of money. You know, I'm just trying to collect some ideas. Typically what they can do anymore, which is great, they can direct you to their website, and that takes absolutely no time at all. And you can kind of look at what they've done. Because I think if anything, that's going to be the real reflection of what you're going to get as a result. The designer that we ended up picking, I loved every single logo that he created, every single one. And I wanted that same taste and that same pop of color and the same style. So for me, it was like, well, how much is it going to cost me for you to do this for us, you know? And then he told me, and like I said, I was, you know, a little blown away, but we have never looked back. Our logo before was horrible. We definitely have a brand now. Everybody really recognizes our logo and knows what we stand for and everything else. So it was money well spent for sure. But yeah, there's definitely cheaper people out there, but anymore, like I said, they can just send you, you know, stuff that they've done in the past. And I think that's the quickest, easiest way to kind of shop for your designer. But knowing that if that's the look you want, you might have to end up paying for it. If there's something that you're like, you know what, I really can only spend, you know, maybe $500 on this, for example, and that's my top, you're going to have to, you know, go obviously a little lower. You might have to find a more junior person. Then definitely, they're trying to make a career for themselves too. So they're going to be a little more willing to just, you know, spend a little time to put some sketches together, some ideas together, and do it for a kind of a reduced cost. So yeah, it's a little bit all over the map, but I think there's something to accommodate everybody out there.
Right. What do you think of blending, what's known as blending, sort of creating sans serif sort of visual identities? Have you heard of the concept?
I have not heard of this concept.
All right. Okay. It's kind of everyone is doing the same sort of look. So a lot of these big brands like Louis Vuitton or Yves Saint Laurent, they've all changed their logos, which were very distinctive before, to this sort of fashionable, very bland looking logo. I think there's reasons for it. I'm just about to research a blog to write on it, so, which is why I wondered if you have any thoughts.
That is really, really interesting. I think, I mean, to a certain degree, there's some danger in that because I think people are very slow to change. But, you know, if they feel that they need to refresh to appeal to a new generation, especially some of these older brands, that might be an interesting way to go. I don't know enough to speak up to that, but that's an interesting concept.
Yeah, I think the idea is good in terms of making it easier to look at the logo online. There's various good reasons behind it, but the fact that everyone then began doing it means that you end up not being distinctive.
Right. Like, I think there's a fair amount of, you know, cachet to having a decent brand. I mean, we've all seen the clothing that has, you know, brands all over it. So yeah, if you have something that's that desirable, run with it. So I'm kind of curious as to the thinking behind that. So I'll look into that a little more. That's very interesting.
I haven't seen your logo. Do you have what's known as a visual hammer? I'm very keen on these visual hammers. Things like Nike swoosh or Coca-Cola's bottle, just something, an image that...
We do. Our logo, and you can find that at portfoliocreative.com. Little plug there. Mm-hmm. we have an asterisk that dots one of our eyes, and we use that fairly often. I had mentioned that our stationery has a pattern on the back. Yeah. It is a beautiful pattern that was created just using different colored asterisks. So we use that as a decorative feature for a lot of things. Sometimes it is the sole thing that's on some things. You know, the full logo might be somewhere else, but we definitely use that as a decorative element for our brand.
Yeah, that's a great idea to do that. I had great difficulty trying to get a visual hammer added. It's taken about 6-7 years now to end up with one because the designer I initially used couldn't find a way to actually incorporate it. I never did understand why my logo needed to look a particular way so that I couldn't have this visual hammer I wanted. But, you know, I've eventually got one, but I got another designer just recently to produce a visual hammer for me, and he promptly said that you can't just add a tack on something, you need a new logo, new colors,
yeah,
which I didn't want because one designer had had a complete clean slate and hadn't been able to do it. And now here was this person who'd agreed to just do a visual hammer.
Scary concept to just have to change your logo, because I think we had ours for maybe 2 years and it was just a quick thing. Because at the time we weren't sure how long we'd be around, you know, why do we want to invest in something, you know, if this doesn't kind of take off. But yeah, once we had it done, again, we've never looked back, and I'm going to assume that you are very happy with your logo, even though it was, you know, a 7 year journey. But yeah, there just comes a point, I think, for a business to just really kind of go all in on the full brand understanding. And it is scary at the beginning. You want to make sure that, you know, this is going to, your company's going to be around for a while and it's going to be worth the investment and all that sort of stuff. But honestly, every day that I feel we're making decisions like that. So yeah, when you feel, you know, now we're going to level up and be the big girls on the block, you know, it's time to go through that entire change. And like I said, it's been definitely worth it.
Well, thank you very much indeed for appearing on the podcast. Just before we finish, is there a brand you particularly admire?
Oh my gosh. Well, besides our own, of course. Because I am madly in love with it, to be perfectly honest. I mean, Aveda has always been one of my favorites. I used to work for Bath and Body Works when I had one of my corporate jobs, and I've always loved everything they've kind of stood for. You know, things that are just always been like really consistent and expected. And, you know, you go to their website and it's like soothing or happy or it's easy to navigate and things like that. Yeah, those are probably like my two of my top favorites, I would say.
So what were the names again?
Aveda, you know.
Aveda, yeah.
The hair and body and that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And Bath and Body Works, which is, you know, one of the limited brands that has stood very strong. I loved not only working there, but I loved everything that they stood for as far as their brand and everything. They've always been really consistent and true to themselves. And I think that's kind of what the whole idea of branding is, you know, just find something that really says, yeah, that's me. I would wear that on a shirt, you know?
Okay. Well, thank you very much indeed, Catherine.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun and I hope it helps somebody.
My guest next week is Ross Kimborowski, the founder and CEO of Crowdspring, where more than 220,000 experienced freelancers help agencies, small businesses, entrepreneurs, and nonprofits with high-quality custom design projects of all sorts, as well as company naming services. Before founding Crowdspring, Ross practiced law for 13 years as a successful trial attorney. If you've enjoyed the podcast, why not join my newsletter to receive fortnightly updates giving more insights on aspects of brand creation and brand building? Just download my 7 costly mistakes with your business and brand, and you'll be added. Details are in the show notes.